Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Oh, good morning to you. So glad to be back in the Willamette Valley. Hello. I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio. Yes, indeed. Made it back to the beautiful Willamette Valley. It was a quite an experience going to the 80th Sturgis Motorcycle Rally. And I'm telling you what, we found so much treasure, so much fun, friends, fellowship, freedom, continuing on and on and on. And what an awesome opportunity, kind of a brain break from all the stuff going on here in the Pacific Northwest, but certainly a beautiful opportunity to find hope and encouragement and bring it back to all of us here during this season. And I want to say thank you to all of you listening and tuning in and telling your friends and family. And even on the plane ride home last night, Terry and I ran into an incredible couple. They've been missionaries in Mexico, and standing in the airport, they commented, because you may or may not know this, but you absolutely have to wear a mask when you're on an airplane or they won't even put you on the plane. So we thought, well, if we have to wear a mask, we're being mandated, we're going to put Trump supporting mask.
Right.
I've got Terry in the studio with me. He's my co-host today. We got a fun morning planned for you. And we met this lovely couple who liked our Trump mask, and we started a conversation. They're right here in Salem coming home as well from travels, dropping off their daughter to college. And so all you parents that are taking your kids to college or looking at that as a wonderful transition right now, we're certainly thinking of you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacy Ann, and Terry,
good morning,
my beloved, is in the studio, and we're recouping from a fantastic...
Oh, it's good to be home. It's good to sleep in your own bed,
be in your own gigs. Yes. And we realize, here's the neat thing, Terry, is that you and I travel. We like to travel. We've been up to New Hampshire. We've been Florida. We've been Texas. We've been a lot of different places, particularly because of Harley-Davidson, right, and family and friends. But there's something about coming home.
Oh, yeah. And even if it's just been your home for a short while, it's just where you hang your hat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice to kick your shoes off and sit in your own chair and eat your own food and just,
Enjoy that. And so there is something really comforting about even Oregon.
Yeah.
And a lot of our friends and folks that we met along the path, treasures, we like to say, when we say we're from the Pacific Northwest and Oregon, they're like, oh, what's going on in Portland? You know, it's a rippling effect. Everybody's watching our governor in our state. What are you going to do about all the uproar going on in the middle of
Portland?
We
have to explain that it's just, that's one little piece of this state that's showing on the media. The rest of it, the valley's wonderful. The people are wonderful. We're all getting along and everything's great, and the coast and the mountains, and all they see is the riffraff that's happening in Portland.
And that was the beautiful part too, friends. I was able to tell our story, our conservative story, that don't give up on Oregon. In fact, pray for us, because we are standing strong and there's some good things going on right now. Don't forget about us. We are a part of this country, and we're holding our own and doing the best that we can. And so that was really encouraging back to people, especially in South Dakota, because we look at South Dakota and Governor Noem. In fact, there was a meme that I shared that she's America's governor right now, leading the way, making these stands. But even though she has said in our state there's no governor mandates, many of the businesses, this is interesting, many of the businesses right there in Rapid City, South Dakota, are absolutely requiring masks and things. So some of that felt the same as
But
here.
At least it gave you a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the business wants to do the mask thing, that's fine. Hey, that's their business. I get that. And I'm fine with that. If they don't want sagging pants, then that's fine. And shoes or whatever. But at least we have a choice to go to a different business.
Yes.
It's when it's mandated by the government. And now it takes away all of our grocery stores, gas stations, every place.
Yes.
You know, they encouraged people on their door, even in the dealership. Hey, if you feel bad, you know, if you're feeling sick, stay home, stay away.
Right.
Wear a mask if you need to protect yourself. You know, if you have a if you've had chemotherapy or you've,
yeah,
you're, you know,
you
you're
have
at
some
risk.
Health
yeah.
and you're at risk. The other thing that is really good to report to you all on the economic side of things, in Sturgis, we go because we work with Harley-Davidson. We contract with them to work at these rallies with the independent dealerships, and we want to tell you and report back that the economy is strong.
It's great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people were so happy to they've traveled from the East Coast. Mm-hmm. We had folks there from every, I would say almost every state. So I met someone from Maine mm-hmm. that had traveled there, and they were buying motorcycles,
yes,
let me tell
you. Yes, we had record number of motorcycle sales, unlike any other year before.
It broke every record. The last time we had such a large number of motorcycle sales, and they count it for just a two-week period, was the 75th anniversary, and
5 years ago.
I'm going to try to hit the number exact, but it's close to it. Something like 604 mm-hmm. were sold. And then last year, now what I want to say is the 74th was probably in the 400s, and then it spiked to 604, and then went back down again to the maybe the middle fours, and it just kept climbing. Then it mm-hmm. went to the fives. In fact, last year, I think we did 599, so we mm-hmm. got really close. Well, this year, the 80th, it broke, it shattered every record. I won't say it's the official number, but it's really close to it. And that was 685 motorcycles mm-hmm. sold in 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's pretty phenomenal. And everybody was really optimistic. Probably the best conversation that I had was with a group of guys that were involved in Homeland Security. And from kind of that New York area, New Jersey area. And I just said, I know you can't officially, unofficially say anything, but as an individual, can you tell me and give me a sense on the law enforcement and where they are politically? Where are they behind the president, or are they not so much, you know? And he said, without any question, they're behind the president because he's behind them. Mm-hmm. And that was really encouraging to hear. And so Homeland Security and safety is a number one issue, a political issue right now. It doesn't matter where you fall on some of the other issues. I think this is the issue that is going to win
yep.
President Trump by being that strong leader and feeling people's personal security is very, very
important. Your security is important. Mm-hmm. And I know that the president was on the other day talking about the wall mm-hmm. and how much he's done. And that's in our Constitution. Congress is responsible mm-hmm. for keeping our borders secured. That's one of their big things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're doing that.
Well, and I think the pulse that I got, even from the veterans, the one day we did the show from the American Legion in the middle of Sturgis and just talking to the veterans, you know, they are still feeling so, you know, that it's important to defend our country. And even though they're retired and some of them are contending with medical issues, they're ready to stand strong and do what mm-hmm. they need to do. And they're talking to their friends about where we're at politically. And I don't know. Yesterday I watched a clip, Terry, I don't know if I had a chance to show you this or not, but there's some stuff going on in Oregon right now with wildfires. We've had a dry season.
Oh, I hadn't
and it
seen
was
that.
Over 100 degrees over the weekend, very, very hot. Mm. And it was very interesting because of these fires that are going on. Governor Brown showed up at the fires, and she did the governor thing, and she did a press conference, and they talked about social distancing, and they were wearing masks, and she looked so governess, you know, uh-huh. or Queen Kate or whatever,
yeah.
and like she's in charge and certainly, you know, in control and in the know of what's going on and so concerned and rightly so. I was impressed. I'm like, this is what
well,
a governor should
okay,
do.
Okay.
So you flip that over and you think, where's our governor when it comes to the craziness going on in Portland?
Why hasn't that been shut down?
Why aren't they condemning? Why isn't she taking that kind of, it shows me she has the capacity.
Yeah.
She has the ability to command a presence. I was, mm-hmm. I was very impressed. And I'm thinking, well, where is she on Portland, her biggest town in this state?
Maybe the prayer is working.
I hope so.
You know
we
it?
Need to keep praying. I believe
yep.
we need to pray for Governor Brown and pray that she will have her eyes open, mm-hmm. certainly. And the biggest eye-opener could be her recall. It really could. So then I was
thinking...
The people
are speaking out.
Yeah, and I'm thinking in my mind, is it because of the recall she's starting to step up and look like a governor and be out front of everything that's going on, and she's a little concerned? Or maybe she's just... I don't know, trying to be a distraction in this. I don't know, but if I'm sitting there and my home is about to be consumed by fire, I would want my governor out front. Like, this is the resources we're doing. But what if you're in the inner city of Portland and your home and your business is at risk? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you want your governor to
Absolutely.
Do the same? And these are the things that kind of make me go on rabbit trails. I'm getting pretty passionate and pretty excited about it. And I know I'm not alone. I'm sure our listeners are feeling the same way and wondering. So I think we need to ramp up our prayer for the governor. But I thought about this. Like, we have a petition, a recall petition, mm-hmm. in regards to her even being our governor anymore. But maybe we need to start some sort of petition that says, we demand that our governor take that kind of leadership, that similar leadership, and deal with Portland. We need to call her out and say, look.
Well, just an email blast. Mm-hmm. You know, just contacting her office via phone.
Yes.
I don't know that it needs to be another petition. I mean, that's not a bad idea. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Just immediate touch. Immediate.
Well, and I know people have been emailing
her.
Do we
have
they
that
have
phone
been
number?
Calling.
Do we have their email?
We'll look it up and we'll provide
that.
But I think a petition and doing a press conference, because mm-hmm. it seems like the only thing that moves her is the media.
Well, that's
she
true.
Does like to have press conferences, and like this was a press conference of how she's handling the wildfire. So I don't know. I'd be curious to hear from our listeners today and see what you think about this. We certainly have time this morning to discuss some of these issues, and maybe there's some things that also happened when we were in Sturgis, not quite aware of what was going on. But I know we're just down to a few months left of getting registered. The recall petition's only just 2 weeks away from having to be submitted. You know, have you signed? Have your friends and family signed? All of that. I'd like to hear back from our listeners today. You're welcome to join the conversation. 503-589-1220. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio. And we launched last week, even though we were out of town, our brand new website, Terry.
Have
you had
a
chance to look at it?
Yes, I have. I've been listening in the mornings.
Oh, my goodness. And our app on our phones and stuff, the way it shows on our phone
it's
is
so, much
so
easier
very
to
nice
use.
And very, very nice. And I think it's important that we stay in tune. I think we might have a caller. Let's see if we can pull up someone on the phone. Thank you for calling. And here we go. Good morning. Who are we talking with this morning?
Oh, you can't guess.
Hello, Art.
Hello,
welcome
Art.
To the conversation. How are
Good
you?
Good to hear your voice.
Well, I want to say my prayers were answered. You and Terry are safe and saved.
Absolutely. We're back.
Yep. And so, praise God, making sure you got here safely. Because yesterday I called in at the end, and of course you didn't get to me.
Oh, yeah. And you're kind of going in and out a little bit, Art.
Is that better?
That's a lot better. There you go.
Okay, I got the phone right up on my face.
That's a lot better. Yep, there you are.
So anyways, you know, I want to say, Stacey, you had a great lineup while you were gone. We missed you, but the gentleman you had yesterday was so spot on mm-hmm. about all the things that he was talking about. And for him to, you know, be where he's at, now, fantastic. Hold me over, Steve.
Yep,
that was Walter.
Yeah, we'll continue the conversation because I want to hear your feedback on Walter from yesterday.
Fantastic.
You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use. Join the conversation, 503-589-1220. We'll be back after this.
Come on back.
Is warm today. Temperatures going to be in the 80s, maybe 88 degrees. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Tuesday, August 18th. And boy, what an adventure the last few weeks. You know, I want to say a special thank you to Phil. Phil is our engineer, and he is phenomenal. He is in the mornings early. Gets up early, and he supports Jeff in his live show, and certainly he supports the live show here even when I'm in the studio. But on the road like that, that's a lot of extra work to make sure that everything sounds right remotely. And I just want to say thank you, Phil, for being there, having my back, and certainly all the mentoring and training for me. I've never done anything like that before, and so I thank you for being there when we were on the road to the Black Hills to Sturgis, South Dakota, and what an experience it was, and how fun and encouraging it was to those we encountered, all the different folks that we had on the radio program. And I thank you, Art, for your feedback. Art is on the show. He called in on our studio line, 503-589-1220. And we were talking a little bit before the break, Art, about Walter's, what he had to share, his testimony and what he shared yesterday and how it impacted and how you agreed. Talk to me a little more about that, Art.
Oh, no problem there, because I really wanted to talk about it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyways, Walter sat, and he talked about Jezebel. And I wanted to say, we have our Jezebel here in Oregon, and we're trying to do the right thing and recall her, because she doesn't care about us. All she cares about is money and power. And how inspiring Walter was, and how connected he was about politics and God, all 9 years. And it was really inspirational to see.
Yes, and it's so good to see, for me, you know, having people on and telling our stories, because I believe where we live here in the Pacific Northwest is a really unique place in America. We really are a place where people still hold on to personal truth. You know, we are so gotten, like, we don't want to offend anybody, you know, and so even to the effect that now they're saying that if people don't want to identify a sex, male or female, I mean, we've gotten so, in a sense, neutered in our ability, but we still honor personal truth. And that's what I loved about Walter, is that he could share his own experience, his own heart, his own personal truth.
He did it so well.
He did it very well, and he did it with strong conviction.
Yep.
And he's like, this, because how do I know? Because I've walked it. I've lived it.
It comes right out of it. It's just as pure and truthful.
And authentic, yes.
Yep.
Yes. Thank you, Art, for joining the conversation. You have a wonderful
day. Take care, Art.
Hey, you guys, and I'm glad you're safe and sound. Now let's go get rid of Keith Brown, have a successful election, and bring back our state to
Yes.
That's right.
Roll up our sleeves and get to work. Thank you, Art. Have a blessed day.
God bless.
So we are having a wonderful morning, kind of recapping back in the studio, and it has been an incredible journey that we've been on over the last 2 weeks. And I'm telling you what, we couldn't do the morning show without our wonderful sponsors, and I'm so very thankful for those that are stepping up in businesses, particularly in this time where every business has been challenged with the shutdown and trying to think out of the box and be creative on how to reach out and do business. And one of our sponsors, actually, he and his wife got to travel to Sturgis and experience it for the very first time, Bill Sunderland with Country Financial Sunderland Agency. And I want to encourage you, he's what I call a smarty smart. If you hear me say smarty smart, that means they're just super smart. And he's very good with money. He's very good with people skills. He's a good networker, just an all-around superb friend and guy. And he is actually, he traveled to be with us in the studio this morning. So I've got two co-hosts today.
Oh, boy.
Yay.
Oh, yeah.
Let me introduce to you Bill Sunderland. Bill, welcome to the morning show.
Good morning,
joining
my friend.
Terry and I. Now we've got this multi-host thing going
right
on. And Bill, you experienced Sturgis for the very first time. Talk to me a little bit about what your experience was like, you and your wife, Lisa, and what you noticed. What was the difference between
there? First of all, it was an amazing, amazing trip. And I had a really great time. The freedom and the patriotism is just a wonderful feeling to be able to go and feel like you're surrounded by people who, first of all, are safe, but they're also good people. Mm-hmm. And being able to see the monuments and travel and just drive around and be free to do that. So it was really a nice time. It was I'd never been before, and I'm so glad I went, and I may just go back next year. We'll see.
So. And so there was a kind of a dual thing. You got to experience South Dakota and all the amazing part of that part of the country and the Black yes. Hills and the monuments and the city of Presidents, Rapid City. Mm-hmm. But then you had the biker culture too,
yep, exactly.
Which I remember a couple times you're like, this is a whole different culture.
It is.
And there's a perception of bikers mm-hmm. out there that they're bad and mm-hmm. mean and tough and mm-hmm. rough. And that may be the case.
Well, but they're tough people.
What did you discover?
Well, they're good people. They're mm-hmm. amazing people. Easy to talk to. It's just like any other place, I think, in a free world or in a free country, where if you leave people alone, you respect people's space, you know, you don't do things that are dumb, then you're fine. Mm. And they're some of the best people you'll ever meet, some of the kindest people that you'll ever meet.
I heard a good example this fella put on. I was watching a Facebook page called Sturgis or Bust, and people were talking about, hey, we're traveling from here to there mm-hmm. and all this sort of thing. And one guy said, out at Full Throttle, which is a very popular, very big saloon
out there, yeah.
He had lost his wallet. Mm-hmm. And he went back, he's looking all around, and he goes back, and someone had turned it in.
Yep.
All the money, all the cards. Mm-hmm.
Untouched.
He's, you know, and, you know, motorcycle folks are just, we're good guys. Mm-hmm. We really are.
Well, I mean, I don't know about you, Terry. I mean, I think people there were, but I don't know about you.
A lot of veterans, a lot of
patriots, a lot of people who are loving our country and willing to defend, and certainly it's a time that we are needing to come together. And I saw a lot of that. I saw a lot of community happening. A lot of happy people.
They were happy to be back to normal. They weren't mm-hmm. social distancing. They were talking, and we were smiling, and we were seeing these friendly faces, and it felt good mm-hmm. to be normal.
Well,
again.
It's American culture. You know, when you see yes. people tearing other people's property apart and hurting
that's
each other,
not
that's
us.
Not American
nope.
culture.
Mm-hmm. That's not us.
And it's, so, yeah, it was amazing to see.
It was good to
very
see
positive.
Unity, yes. you know, and really probably how church should be, right? It was amazing. I saw a lot of ministry happening on the streets of Sturgis as well. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We're going to go to break. We're going to continue to open up the phone lines, 503-589-1220. Join the conversation. We'll be back after this. This morning, you're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann. Joining the conversation this morning, I've got Bill Sunderland here. Thank you for tuning in. Bill, thank you for coming in and giving us your wrap-up of Sturgis. And certainly, what an incredible time. And we were talking about just the freedom and the encouragement everybody had by going. Yeah. I think they said about 286,000 people. They
amazing
were expecting, 500,000, but it was just right, you know.
Yeah.
And the encouraging part was they all love the fact that South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem has said, this is a free state,
that's
you know,
right.
and of course, a lot of the South Dakotans were like, "It's the winters are really cold here. It's fun to visit, but don't move
please
here.
Don't. Yeah. please come and then please leave." Yes.
Yes. What was your impression of the towns and things that you went to?
I just thought they were just lovely places. Older, some of them, mm-hmm. but especially, the names escape me. Some mm-hmm. of the names, if I heard them, I would say, "Oh yeah, that's where we were. We went mm-hmm. there." But they were just amazing, wonderful places to be. and just quaint little towns.
Right.
Very, you know, not dirty at all. That was the thing. Everything's well maintained. There's no trash laying around. Mm-hmm. There's no, I didn't see any.
Right.
And so it just was a very refreshing thing to see. Organized, businesses were open, things were clean, people were nice and friendly. It was just a very good
And it's a very business friendly culture there.
It is.
And you know what it does for me, my takeaway was, and Terry, maybe you think this as well, Oregon is a precious place.
Yes.
It is to me because I was raised here, mm-hmm. you know. We had, before we went to South Dakota, we went to California. Mm-hmm. I have history in California as well. Mm-hmm. And then we went back to South Dakota, and here we made this little trip, this journey.
That's why we're glad to be home.
But right? Oregon is precious. And we have a lot of precious communities, just mm-hmm. like the Black Hills of South Dakota, mm-hmm. and incredible people.
Yeah.
And we're determined. We're also faith-filled and
hardworking folks.
Hardworking.
Right. And I mean, this is agriculture. Look out there. There's a lot of labor going on.
And I think if we continue to hold together, hold tight together, we could turn this state around. Maybe I'm Pollyanna, but I don't think we're too lost to turn this around. We can come together and make a difference.
Well, we just have two basic pockets that are leading the state astray, mm-hmm. and that's Multnomah, Washington County, and Lane County. I mean, that's mm-hmm. it. And they're very populous. But, you know, liberalism, no matter where you go and no matter where it's tried, it does not work. And they're bringing the whole state down.
Well, and liberalism anymore is now socialism.
Correct.
I mean, even the liberals are like, what happened to our party? You know, what's changing or whatever? We encourage you to be a part of the conversation this morning. Call in on the studio line 503-589-1220. We're going to welcome to the conversation Glenn. Good morning to you, Glenn. How are you?
Oh, I'm just fine, Stacy. I wanted you to compare what you're seeing on the streets there in South Dakota, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Did you go beyond just Sturgis into the other towns and see whether or not they're wearing masks? Because that governor has basically opened it up. Is it more like pre-COVID-19 in a sense?
Oh, absolutely. It's like America was last fall.
Here in the studio, we're looking at each other and we're smiling and nodding. It was pre-COVID. It was amazing. You don't realize what you miss when you can't see someone's smiling face and you're close and you're touching them on the shoulder and you're shaking hands. And it was fantastic. Everyone.
Now, another huge question would be about, did you attend services in any of the churches while you were there on Sundays, and how were the churches being conducted? Were they any restrictions? Give me some answers or some answers on that.
Well, let me. I've got several friends who are pastors or in ministry in the area, and we weren't able to attend because of our work schedule, working the rally at Harley. But I will say, many of them have never stopped meeting. Now, if there were older populations that were a little at risk, they also did the Zooming and the FaceTime, or however they do that online, gave people options. But many of them did not stop assembling. Now, my parents' personal church, because of the population, the older population, and wanting to protect them, they had just gone to, but that was only for maybe a month. But that was the church's decision, not the governor's decision.
Right.
It wasn't mandated. And so, if anything, you know, what's happened even in South Dakota is many are having churches outside. They've mm-hmm. expanded. Of course, that won't happen in January, February with their below zero temperatures.
At least the service mm-hmm. won't last long.
But great questions, Glenn. Great questions.
Yep. Well, and we went to services
the next
over
question,
there.
Mm-hmm. What about what's happening in their hospitals and sickness and the numbers with COVID, even though comparison to Oregon, some of the lying going on there, I imagine it's probably more genuine in numbers.
Oh, very.
What's happening?
Mm-hmm, very much so, Glenn. In fact, they track recovered. They track their recovered. You don't see that in any other state or health department. They track, and they've had a low incidence. They had the outbreak in South Dakota right early on in some of the food processing plants on the eastern side of the state. They've had some outbreaks, but their hospital capacity is really well. Both my son and his wife work at the hospital. There's one hospital of care, system of care in Rapid City in the Black Hills that serves all that whole western side of South Dakota. And then there's Indian Health Services as well. So, yes, they're very trained, they're very capable, low incidences of COVID, but they're cautious, they're optimistic, and if there is an outbreak, they get on it right away in their communities.
Thanks a lot. That's all.
Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you for calling in, and have a wonderful day. So we're continuing the conversation this morning. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. With us on the air is Bill Sunderland. He's with Country Financial, good friend and sponsor and supporter of our show this morning. And then Terry, my beloved.
Good morning.
He's always bringing us
good heavens.
He's always bringing perspective in that southern sound to the to the studio.
We can.
After about three cups of coffee, he'll tell a good joke or
loosen
two.
Yeah,
usually. So we have seen such an contrast in a sense. You know, right here in the Pacific Northwest, you feel like if you don't wear a mask, people look at you and they almost shame you and say, "Oh my gosh, you're not wearing. Why aren't you wearing a mask?" You know, for me, I'll just say I'm exempt. You know, I don't have to. And if they chase me down, which hasn't happened yet, but you know, the flip side of that, Terry, was there were people that wore masks.
Yes, there were
in a big crowd. You certainly didn't see the people who weren't wearing masks telling the ones that were. Going after him, going, "You don't have to wear a mask," and shaming them for wearing a mask. Isn't that interesting how that works?
Everyone kind of did what they wanted to do as far as if they felt like they needed to wear or they felt more comfortable wearing. People wore. I think everybody understood. Maybe they came from a part of the country where everyone's wearing masks and they were, I don't know, I won't say trained, but, you know, that was part of their lifestyle now. But the majority of the folks there, the normal to them is not having a mask on. And so they wanted to be normal again. And so they walked around without the mask.
A couple things that stood up my mind. I worked in the area where we did the financial credit applications and stuff. And a couple of the coworkers came in a couple times during the, and they were wearing masks. So I went up to them just because I've gotten to know them. And I said, "Are you not feeling well? Are you feeling like..." They both are teachers. And this is what they said to me. "Well, when we go back in the classroom, we're going to have to wear masks." So some of the school districts, even in South Dakota, are requiring them as they teach to wear masks. And so I figured this would be a great time to start training myself to go, you know, 8 hours in a mask. And I was really sad about that. Very sad. So that was one particular thing that stood in my mind in regards to this mask issue. The other thing was you and I coming off the plane. Again, we were on a plane. You cannot be on a plane and not wear a mask.
Unless you're sitting there with drinking water, eating the pretzels, and then the germs can't bother anyone.
Yeah, right.
Magically.
You can take it off then.
And
but
there's no social distancing. You're shoulder to shoulder, just like before. You and the person next to you, you're both eating pretzels, drinking from your water bottle, breathing in, breathing out, no mask, and they're perfectly fine with that.
But if you're moving around or getting off the plane, so Terry and I decided, well, if we're going to buy a mask, we're going to have a message on it, and it says Trump Pence 2020.
Right.
And so coming out of the airport in Dallas,
lots
this was the coolest thing. We had our mask on, and we're not real happy about it, of course. We're frowning, I'm sure, underneath our mask, walking out with this, trying to breathe because we can't breathe very well. With it, and everybody met our eyes. They have their masks, but their eyes are lighting up, and they're giving us thumbs up like,
you know,
yeah.
And there's a lot of chin-warming masks out there, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people put them on, and then they're just down below their mouth or below their nose, and we both, well, they're not effective much anyway, but then when you just hang it under your chin, what is that?
I know. And I heard, I was kind of dozing off. We didn't get to sit together. We were, because we got the really special good price tickets, so we didn't get to sit together. And I could hear the airline stewardess coming down the hallway, "Pull up your mask. Put that mask over your neck," just like a school teacher, you know, getting after kids. And I thought for sure you got yelled at. I don't know.
No, I didn't. I just looked away. I look at my phone with my head down.
I grabbed my water bottle, even though it was empty, and pretended like I was drinking it when she went by. But we are living in interesting times,
that's
for sure. And
we'll tell our grandkids about it.
Give perspective to our listeners as we continue the conversation today. I want to say thank you to I want to say thank you to Dave and Paige Smith. They've joined us on the morning show as sponsors. They have Realty One Group Willamette Valley, and they are such a cute couple, and they are so good at what they're doing in real estate. It's fun to watch them, and they're working on getting their website all up and dated, and they're doing really well in their business. And their little statement, I love this, and they have the cutest little daughter. I hope to incorporate her into the
part
commercials.
That, yeah, mm-hmm. That's always fun.
They are ready to go above and beyond to serve you and help you in your real estate needs. So keep Dave and Paige Smith in your forefront of your mind if you're thinking about real estate. Maybe you're thinking about upgrading. Maybe you're thinking about downsizing. Just real excited to have them a part of the morning show as well.
I love to work around successful people mm-hmm. that are just driven because they enjoy it. You
yes.
know, these people that we sold motorcycles with, they're there. It's a lot of work, but they're smiling and they love every moment of it.
That's right. You're listening to KSLM Reliable News Talk Radio, news that you can use on this Tuesday and every day. We're going to continue the conversation after this. You're welcome to give us a call, 503-589-1220. Good morning to you. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. It's going to be a nice day today. Temperature about 88 degrees. It's 7:50. Already moving along this morning. If you have to be at work at 8 o'clock, you're hustling, right? Oh, it's so fun to hang out with you, and it's great to be back in the studio. We're here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you with news that you can use. And I'm excited tomorrow morning. Yes, our friend Bill Cummings will be joining us right here in the studio. We're going to be talking about the best of the Willamette Valley, getting an update on all of the businesses that were selected and how that is working out, particularly through COVID. You know, everybody is celebrating getting back to normal, right, with their businesses or adjusting and doing what they can. And one of the things that's been fun is getting to know Bill Sunderland and his work at Country Financial and having to spend a little bit extra time with him and his wife. He shared with us last night. They picked us up from the airport, and it was, thank you, by the way, for that, Bill. And we went to dinner, and he shared something very, very unique that he does with his kids. He and Lisa have four beautiful children, and they're all in that teenage phase, right?
They sure are, yeah.
That's a lot of groceries, man.
A lot of groceries and a lot of activity going on and a lot of schooling from home, even though they're still in public schools and all of that.
A lot of moving parts.
You have found a way, I think is brilliant, to motivate and keep your kids focused on their future and doing what they can do today.
Right.
And Terry and I were talking about this. That was a really brilliant idea, what you shared. And I don't know, Terry, what you thought specifically. Well, let him share his idea, and then I want you to come into the conversation.
Yeah, sure.
What do you do for your kids to inspire them to plan for their future?
Well, you know, everything in your life, or most things in your life, are about habits, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those are good and bad habits, either way. And good habits lead you to good places, and bad habits, well, you know, not so much. So what we've done with our kids is, and it's a conversation I think a lot of parents of teenagers have, is, well, gosh, you know, how do we help them launch? And one of the things that Lisa and I have found that I think inspires us and I think inspires our children is to teach them about the concept of saving money early, especially when you just start working your job. So if you're 16, 17, and you're working and you're living at home, you need to save $10,000 and put it into your retirement account. If you're working toward that goal, you can continue living at home rent-free after you graduate high school,
mm-hmm.
okay? And then after you have that done, if you're making satisfactory progress towards saving for a car and paying cash for a car, you can live at home rent-free, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you have your car done and your retirement done and you're in school and you want to go travel, if you want to save up some money, go travel for a month somewhere. You can go travel, come back home, work, save some money, go travel. If you're enriching your life, building for your future, and having the assets available to you early on that you'll need, then you can live at home rent-free. But you start, you know, getting into relationships and you start frittering away your money and you're not making satisfactory progress toward those goals, you're out, right? And so if you put $10,000 in a young person's account and you let that sit there, you don't touch it until they're 65, you have a tremendous amount of money and you don't have to put another dime in there. So launching them, helping them get a good start is so critical. And so that's what we've decided to do with all of our kids. And with my daughter Callie, she's just a sweetheart, and she's doing a great job. She bought her first car, and she paid cash for it. And what a great, and she is so proud of that car. It's so cute to see her. And it's just a cute little car, too. So I think I'm just so proud of her, and I know she's going to go in great places. And I'm looking forward to seeing how the launching helps each of these kids really achieve their goals.
What a beautiful illustration of motivation and setting goals, too, for them. And I'm thinking about, even as a grandparent, you know, maybe you didn't have an opportunity to do this as a parent, but you could do this as a grandparent.
Absolutely.
A lot of times grandparents are looking for ways to help pay for college or do things for their grandchildren, but what a great motivate them. And I've heard things about, if you save up so much, we'll match you when you get first car, things like this. But this has got such a future focus of, hey, this money, let that compound interest that works against you for credit cards work for you for your own saving. What are your thoughts on that, Tim?
I have, well, here I am, you know, 50 plus years old, and I've never heard of that number, 10,000 going to whatever that one point something. Why weren't we taught this in school, in economics? Why didn't they say to us, hey, look, your retirement doesn't have to be scary. There's so many people I know that at my age, well, not all of them, but there's a big bunch of them that they didn't think about retirement until they got into their 40s.
That's right.
And now they're thinking, uh-oh, I've got 20 years to build a nest egg. So many people are relying on Social Security. Well, see, Social Security is insurance. Social Security insurance. That's in case you don't have a retirement. It was there to help you. It's kind of like car insurance. You know, it's there as a backup plan, but you should create the main plan, plan A. And I was never taught that. My family, they didn't have a savings account, much of one anyway. It was always make money, pay bills, and maybe go play a little bit, but nothing about the future. So to hear that just really, that just blew my mind. I thought, wow, I wish I'd have known that. And I want to share that with my nephews and nieces and as they start coming up. What a great idea. Because $10,000, it sounds like a lot of money. But you go over to a couple of years and you can save that. And your retirement is done.
Yes. Done.
Amazing. Well,
and Callie had, I think, $6,800 in her account before she bought her car.
Yeah.
And when you're a young person and you can take one or two jobs and you've got all kinds of energy and you can have a job or two perhaps and still go to school and still go and see your friends and you don't have any car payments, you have any rent, you have no groceries, you have nothing, it's really not that difficult. I mean, it only takes, if you're disciplined, you can do it in a year or less.
Well, so, and we're real proud of our Bree. She's done real well this last year. She's at our farm in Arkansas, and she's working, and she's working towards getting a car and paying her bills. And it's, adulting is hard. She graduated a year ago, and she's like, this is hard stuff. And I just think, had we encouraged her, you know, the last 2 years she's been working
and
while going to school.
It's never too late. Start
never
now.
Never too late.
Well, and 529 plans are an awesome way to save for college. And you can get, depending on where you are, you have to check with your tax advisor, of course, on this. But, you know, I know Oregon has an offset for contributions, and anyone, you know, grandma, grandpa, aunts, uncles can contribute to that. My gosh, you set that up the minute a child's born, and
it's
you're off to the races.
Taken care of, yes.
Yeah,
it's taken
absolutely.
Care of.
And that, there's a lot of flexibility for those as well.
So how do people get a hold of you if they want to talk about these things?
They can just call Bill Sunderland at Country Financial at 503-885-0789. And I'll be happy to talk with them. And it's not scary. It doesn't have to be, but you have to have a plan and you have to know and you have to get started.
Well, and as an adult, starting somewhere is better than not starting at all.
Right.
And I think sometimes we feel like, oh, we have so much ground to gain. But I love this idea of getting this life insurance. It's the product that I purchased, and I love it. That
Bill, you make it easy. You really do.
You really do.
You enjoy what you do, and it comes through, and you're so knowledgeable.
Well, I appreciate it. I love people, so thank you. that. Yep. I appreciate that, really.
So you're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We're having a fun morning this morning, kind of recapping Sturgis and our wonderful travels and getting back to business right here in Salem, in the Pacific Northwest, doing what we need to do. Bill, are you inspired to do what you can do politically to make sure that our state changes
Absolutely.
And turns
Absolutely.
In the right direction?
Yes. Yes.
Well, thank you for being a part of the morning show.
Thank
and
you.
Your sponsorship
Thanks,
is appreciated. Terry, thank you for joining us
of
this
course.
Morning. And
Good
again,
to see you, my friend.
Yep, we will all do this again. This is kind of fun
this
having two
fun.
Co-hosts. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning. Reminding you, tomorrow morning, the best of the Willamette Valley with Bill Cummings. So glad to be back home. Thank you. Have a wonderful Tuesday. Remember, over, under, around, or through, no matter what you're facing today, together we are overcomers. Have a great day.